The Bible reading tonight is from Jeremiah 29, verse 1 to 19. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders, among the exiles and to the priests, the prophet and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials and the leader of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elsar, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You may say, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. But this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in this city, your countrymen who did not go with you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like poor figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth and an object of cursing and horror, of scorn and reproach among all of the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants the prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord.
Hey, 5 o'clock. How you doing? It's a bit hot, but I need you to be alive. That's one thing. And excited, because it's Australia Day tomorrow. How good's that? Can I just hear if you're Australian out there? Yep. So about half of you, I don't know what the other half is, but that's cool. I'm going to give you an actual citizenship test, though. This is like a legitimate government official test of whether you're Australian or not. Okay, so we're going to do this because I want to find out if you are actually Australian or you're just like posing in as an Australian. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say something, and I want you to reply, like, loudly, because this will prove if you're Australian. If you don't reply, it just goes to show that you're not Australian. You have to work tomorrow because you're not Australian, okay? So here we go. You're the voice trying to understand it. Make a noise and make it clear. Excellent. You're all Australian. You can pick up your citizenship certificates at the back. Very good. We're Australian and we love Australia because it's our home. It's what we know. It's what we love. We have friends here. People know us. We know people. And it's cool to like travel. If you've been traveling before, it's cool to see other countries. It's great. But once you're there, there's a part of you, especially if you're there for a long time, just misses being home, misses being in Australia. This is where we're comfortable. We have our home here. We can relax. See, when you travel, you stay in a bunch of different places. You're like a resident or a visitor there. But Australia is our home. You can still call Australia home. But what if you got pulled out of this home? What if you got pulled out of what you knew and forced to live somewhere else? Somewhere they speak a completely different language, a violent, horrible nation, like New Zealand. I'm just kidding. You Kiwis are half decent, which is, it's sweet as in New Zealandish, just so you know that. But seriously, what if tomorrow you're down at the beach having a barbie and suddenly another nation's army comes in and takes half of you? They take half of you captive. We have no time to pack our things. We have no time to say goodbye to anyone. We're gone. We're captive. We get taken to this other country. The language is different. The culture is different. We've been separated, not just from our home, but everything and everyone we love. Now you've got a picture of what's happening in Jeremiah. See, half of Israel had been exiled to the Babylonians. Not only had they lost their family, their friends, their homes, lost their dignity, but also it seems like they had lost God. See, God was supposed to protect them, supposed to make them a great nation, but where was he and what was he going to do about this? They were in a place they didn't want to be, and they were wondering, when will they get out? What do you do when you're in a place that you don't want to be? I got a lot of places I don't want to be, like the dentist. Now, no offense to like any of you who might be a dentist out there. Like, we love you, and you probably got like the best smile in the world, but everyone here hates going to you. That's just fact. We hate going to you. Not just because of what you do to us when we get there, but the worst thing I hate is the waiting. You sit in that like awkward waiting room and you can hear the sounds. Zzz, like, oh gosh, I don't want to be here. Like, the only good thing is you do get to catch up on the updated Women's Weekly of 1999. So you get all the goss from that. But I hate being in a place I don't want to be. I hate waiting for something I don't want. When mum goes shopping. Now, my mum's a great mum, and she is a great shopper. In and out like that, knows what she wants, doesn't get distracted at all. But from what I've heard from other people, shopping with your mum is not a place that you want to be. Because this is what happens. They're like, I'm just going to pop into Woolies. I need to get one thing. I'll be 5 minutes. Yeah. And you're like, awesome. I'll just stay in the car. 45 minutes later, and you're like, should I call the police? And then another 45 minutes later, you're like, hang on. Does she mean 5 human minutes? Or is this like Inception, where it's like a shop within a shop within a shop, which ends up being like a week? What do you do when you're in a place that you don't want to be? I hate waiting. I hate waiting when I'm in a place I don't want to be. Like when you're in the Macca's drive-thru and it takes like 30 seconds extra than it should. I hate that. That time between you texting Bae and Bae texting you back, I hate being in that place. The line for the girls' toilet at the Taylor Swift concert, you don't want to be there. The line for the guys' toilet at the State of Origin, you do not want to be there. Or that rapidly growing time between when the movie starts and when the movie actually starts. I think it's up to like half an hour now. What do you do when you're in a situation you don't want to be in? So we know that these things are all true, but there's also truth to some of the more serious stuff in our life. If you've ever been really sick or had a friend who was really sick, waiting on that news from a doctor, news that could potentially be life-changing, it's not a place you want to be. Or maybe that anxious wait after you've hurt a friend and you want things to go back to normal, hoping that they will. That wait can be devastating. Or maybe you're simply waiting for peace at home. Peace at home, it's not a place you want to be when there's no peace at home. So what about us as Christians? Is it possible that there are times in this Christian life where we ask, what is going on? Where is God in this? Because surely if God is on our side, he will make sure that we don't feel like that. But I wonder if you said yes to Jesus, thinking that that would be the case, that everything's going to be sorted from now on. Everything's going to be all right. But what you've realized is things have actually gotten worse. Things are more difficult. Maybe you even feel like giving up. Maybe you've been praying for something for so long and there seems to be no answer. What do we do when we're in a place we don't want to be? Now you know the frustration of the people in Jeremiah who are wondering if God is even there. Remember, half of us have been banished to another country. We'll be asking ourselves, what is going on? Who is going to help? They're asking the same question, desperately wanting to hear from God. And then a letter arrives, and it's from Jeremiah. Now, the older folk in here are saying, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. That's right. But the younger people are thinking, hang on, isn't Jeremiah the guy who sings that song, don't tell him, you wouldn't even God tell him. You're both right, and you're both wrong. Jeremiah was a prophet. Now, a prophet is a messenger of God. God gives them a message, they pass it on to the people. So the people get a letter from Jeremiah. When you get a letter from a prophet, that's when you start listening because God is about to speak. And they're thinking, this is it. God's answering. We're going to get out of here. But the message they receive is completely different to what they're expecting. Classic God. Now, in preparation for Australia Day, I want to explain what the letter says by using three classic Aussie sayings. Here are the three. Settle pedal. God knows, and she'll be right. It's my favorite one. Settle pedal, God knows, and she'll be right. Number one, settle pedal. Now, if no one has ever said this to you, that's probably a good thing. If you hear this all the time, then maybe you should settle pedal. The start of the letter reads like this, just as Beck read out. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it because if it prospers, you too will prosper. See, God says, you know this situation. You don't want to be here. You know these people that have taken you captive. You're going to be here for a while, and we're going to find out how long in a minute. So God says, settle. Make this your home. Not only make this your home, but those people who took you captive, pray for them. Pray that they will prosper because in turn you will prosper. Shane preached this message this morning and this is what he called it. He called it, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. And right now you may be planted in a place that you don't feel like you want to be. You may think there is no good reason for you to be in this place. This is what the people must have thought. But God says, settle. Because he might have you there for a good reason. Does it make sense? Someone's testimony, someone's story is encouraging because they tell you of the things that they've overcome. But to overcome them, they have to be in that situation. See, maybe it's a job that you think might be going nowhere. Maybe it's a relationship that isn't as perfect as you thought it would be. Maybe a ministry you're involved in seems to be going backwards. God says, settle. Don't try to escape what's not in your plan. Embrace what is in God's plan. Don't try to escape what's not in your plan. Embrace what is in God's plan. The second good old Aussie saying is, God knows. Let me use it in a sentence for you. Darren, when will Mum be back from the shops? God knows. Or maybe one in your context, you understand this one. When will this sermon ever end? God knows. See, we use it when we seem like things are taking forever. We use it when we have no control over a particular thing ending. And this is the feeling of the people in Jeremiah. This is what the letter says. It says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. So these people have been pulled out of their land, their houses, their families and friends. But the thing that hurt the most was they thought that they had lost God. That what was happening was out of God's control. Have you ever felt that? A situation where you don't know if God is even there. And if he is, he doesn't seem to be doing anything about it. Maybe he's powerless, or maybe he just doesn't care. Maybe you've been praying for something for so long now with no answer. Your only response can be, God knows how long this will take. God knows. No, God knows. He says, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place, for I know the plans that I have for you. God knows. God knows your situation. God knows your pain. God knows your frustration. God knows your joy. God knows your dreams. God knows you. And whatever it is you're going through, it's in his plan. So the question begs, what is the plan then? Because sometimes it seems the plan is bad. What is the plan? Well, this is the last favorite Aussie saying of mine. This is my favorite. She'll be right. She'll be right. Classic Aussie saying. Now, she'll be right. We love saying this because we think it fixes everything, right? Your mate smashes his thumb with a hammer. Mate, she'll be right. You miss out on getting tickets to the Taylor Swift concert. She'll be right. Your air conditioning breaks in your car. That's not all right. Definitely not today. Do you think that we can do that as Christians, though? Someone's having a legitimate difficult time with something, and because we don't want them to be awkward and sad, we're like, she'll be right, don't worry about it. That's what we want to hear when you're in those times and in those situations. You want to know that everything is going to be all right. And that's exactly what the people in Jeremiah want. In fact, later in verse 21, the people have been getting Ahab and Zedekiah to tell them that everything's going to be all right. So they prophesy that in 2 years, they'll be back in the land. In 2 years, everything will be back to normal. When you're going through tough times, you want to know that everything's going to be all right. That's why we see psychics, we read star signs, we get a medium to talk to loved ones that have passed away, because we want to know that everything's going to be all right, even when it's not. But how do we know that everything's going to be all right? And you're like, yes, Josh, look at that verse. Look at the magical verse coming up. This is your answer. So we get to Jeremiah 29:11, and this is what it says. It's that famous verse that everyone loves, everyone quotes. Chances are you've got something in your house that has this on it. A t-shirt, your coffee mug. Maybe it's one of those big motivational Christian posters with like the eagle soaring in the back. Jeremiah 29:11. It's highlighted in your Bible. It's everywhere. And once I read it, you will understand why. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. It's like the Oprah moment. Yes, everything's going to be great. She'll be right. God's got this. I'm going to get that uni course. I'm going to get that wife. I'm going to get promoted. I'm about to prosper. Bring it on. This is it. This is the answer. Now, this is a fabulous verse, but for a very different reason than most people think. So who is hearing this? Who is this written to? It's from the people in the foreign land. And it says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Now, this is where we can get full bogan. When it says you, it doesn't mean you, individual. It means the people of God. As Shane said this morning, it's yous. It's yous. Because you, plans to prosper yous, not to harm yous. Plans to give yous a hope and a future. And what God is talking about isn't that every single thing in their life will work out. He's talking about the bit before this verse that says, I will bring you back home, but not for 70 years. What God is saying that he knows where they are, he knows what they're going through, and it's actually part of his plan. And that plan will come to fruition in 70 years. Does it make sense that most of the people reading this letter, they wouldn't actually see that plan play out? 70 years. They would have died before it came to be. So what did it mean for the people in Jeremiah to hear this? It was to comfort them, knowing that what they were going through was in God's plan, and that his plan involves so much more. One of my good friends has this verse tattooed on her arm, and I asked her why she got it and what it meant to her, and this is what she said. She said, this reminds me that no matter what happens, whether I'm loving life or if I'm going through something horrible, it's all in God's plan for me. And it helps me to trust him that he will be with me as I go through it. Do you see the difference between praying, God, get me out of this situation, and God, be with me through this situation? See, often we go to God and we ask him to take us out of a situation because we can't see how what we're going through would be part of the plan. We ask God, how could this be the plan? Can I just say that question is legitimate? It's a legitimate question to ask. And we know this because Jesus himself asked God the same question. If there is anyone in the world who was down with God's plan, it was Jesus. But remember the night before he was crucified in the garden? Look at what he said. It's in Luke 22. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. See, Jesus doesn't want to die. He knows it will be painful. He knows it will be excruciating. There's part of him that wants out, and he actually asks God, is there an out? But he reaches the conclusion that we need to reach in our difficult circumstances. He says, yet not my will, but yours. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Does it make sense? That's the scariest prayer you could ever pray. The scariest prayer you can pray is, Lord, your will be done. Because then it's God's plan, not our plan. And he will do it. He will stretch us and use us beyond what we can imagine. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So what is the plan that God has for us? It's Jesus. Jesus was the plan that Jeremiah was talking about. And what is our hope and our future? It's an eternity with him in heaven. See, our residence is in Australia. It's what we call home. But for those of us who have said yes to Jesus, our real home is heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And sometimes it's hard to live when we're not home yet. Sometimes it can feel like we're in a foreign place and we might find ourselves in places we really don't want to be. God says to his people, settle. Bloom where you were planted with God at the center. And no matter what happens in this life, God knows. He is in control, even when things seem out of control, because he has the plan. The plan is fulfilled in Jesus and will be completely fulfilled when Jesus returns, which gives us confidence to say everything will be right. When we live with heaven as a perspective, no matter what we go through, we know that there is a day coming when all will be right in God's timing. This is what Hebrews 11 says. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And he's prepared that city for us. It's heaven. Friends, we are citizens of heaven. Would we wait in faith until we're called home? Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful home that we call Australia, but we know that there is a home that you have built, a city that you have built, and it's waiting for us. And Lord, we thank you that we can look at the people in Jeremiah and understand that there's times when we're frustrated, times where we don't understand what's happening, where God is, but we know that he has a plan. And we thank you that that plan was Jesus and will continue to be Jesus. And one day things will be right in heaven. Lord, would you give us strength as we live and wait for that time? Would you settle us and plant us that we would bloom where you plant us? Help us through the hard times. Help us through the circumstances which we have no control over. But would we always know that this is part of your plan? You are our God and you are a good God. So give us strength, Lord, as a church and as children of you. Give us strength in this time.